Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in our Lent devotionals, almost there. And today I'll be reading for us Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who is delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. All right, so I'm going to start off today with a bit of time traveling, and I'm going to take you all the way back to high school. Now, high school was really the first time I started to understand the concept that my mind worked a certain way, that there were ways that I understood the world that others didn't, and ways that others understood the world that I didn't. And that particular revelation came to me through how bad my math grades were. I realized that math is just not something that comes to me very easily, and it really wasn't something I enjoyed learning. And that put me in a tricky spot because most of my friends were good at math. I went to a regional technical high school that you had to test in for, and so everyone around me was studious and high achieving. And to this day, I'm not sure how I got grouped in with them. Anyway, I always found myself lagging behind my friends when it came to advancing through our math curriculum, and that actually really got to me. There was something about being the only senior in a class full of sophomores that really made you question your intelligence. And in a school that bred an academically competitive culture, it was all too easy to see me as not being good enough. Thankfully, that was around the time where I found out that I really enjoyed writing. I gravitated towards the creative writing classes that my school offered, and I found that it was a completely different set of skills. While I felt that math evaluated me through my brain's performance and processing power and how much I can get right and doing the correct calculations, writing evaluated me through how well I could express my emotions and my experiences. It felt like it leveled the playing ground for me, that I was judged not for the results I could produce, but rather something within. And you best believe that when it came time for APs, I steered clear of Calc and went straight for Lang. When it comes to today's passage, Paul takes a look at Abraham and how he lived his life. And Paul points out two very different ways that we can be evaluated in the eyes of God, and how one actually fits us so much better than the other. In verse 13, Paul writes, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Paul, of course, is referring to the promise made between God and Abraham back in Genesis, where God comes to Abraham and shows him a future where his offspring would be numbered like the stars in the night sky. And despite Abraham's old age or Sarah's barrenness, Abraham trusted in the Lord. And Paul tells us that it's this trust, this faith, rather than any merit or good deed that Abraham carried out, that led that promise to be fulfilled. And it's a good thing too, because as we know, the accounts of Abraham's life show that he was very far from being perfect. He was a liar, a coward, and he wasn't very good to his wife. If Abraham's end of the deal was that he lived a life that was as righteous as God's standard held him to be, then Father Abraham would not have had many sons at all. But God, rather than evaluate us through the impossible standard of following his holy law, he chose to evaluate us on the basis of faith. Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. His faith made him as righteous as he would have been had he followed God's law to the T his whole life. And that's crazy, but what's crazier is that this same reality is offered to us. We're told that our faith is also counted to us as righteousness, as we believe in Jesus our Lord, who is delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So what does this mean for us? When I reflect on the split in the road between being judged according to faith and being judged according to the law, I realize that it's an all or nothing decision. When I'm not careful, though, I imagine the line between the two to be quite blurred. I like the idea of this secure righteousness offered to me based on my faith, but at the same time, I find myself pointing to my works. I find myself saying, look, God, I have faith, but at the same time, look at how much I'm doing. Look at all these ways I'm serving you, and look at how much I love my neighbor, and look at how much I uphold your law. You know, humans, we're deceptive at heart. We like to always put our best foot forward, and I think we can really see how much we actually still value our works whenever we come before God. Our passage today, it teaches us such a clear lesson that God in his infinite love and his abundant grace chose to count our faith as righteousness instead of our works in the law. So, make your life about growing strong in faith rather than growing strong in works. But we don't do that, do we? If you examine your priorities or your thoughts and your desires, if you look at what motivates you and what stirs your heart, how much of these things are consistent with the goal that God gives us to grow strong in our faith? When you get up from your quiet time with God, are you filled with awe at the chance to have intimately known and be known by the Father? Or do you feel accomplished that you can check that off your to-do list and get on with your day? When you look at your place in our church, are you honored to join in on building up this body that God so dearly loves? Or do you feel like you're doing everyone else a favor by working as hard as you do? When you take stock of your own identity and you ask yourself, what makes you who you are? Is the answer the grace and the new life you have in Jesus Christ? Or is it anything else? I know for me, the answer is often the latter. Oftentimes, I forget that when the Lord calls me home one day and I find myself before my Maker, I can't point to anything back on earth. I can't point to the things I did. I can't point to all the moments and the endeavors that qualified me for a quote-unquote good life within the law. Because then, I'd have to point to all the things I didn't do. All the ways I fell short, all the times I put anything else before God. It's impossible to be righteous when we point to our works. If anyone truly believes that they'll be judged at the end of their life on their faith and their faith alone. They'd be a fool to spend their years neglecting their faith and chasing after accomplishments, milestones, and renown or even self-satisfaction. So let's not waste time evaluating ourselves with the wrong criteria. Let's not try to become more righteous based on what we do. We have a Lord, a Savior, a friend who is more righteous than we can even understand. And if we have faith in Him, faith, then we can join Him in that life of righteousness. Now let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, we ask that You continue to teach us to transform our hearts and our minds to pursue greater faith, not greater works. Lord, help us to discern between what we're doing for the sake of our own satisfaction, our own building up, versus what we do to know You better, to be able to cast everything we have, to lay down everything at Your feet, and to say, You are Lord over our lives. We trust You. We hope against hope. We have full faith and assurance that You are God and that You will do the best. Lord, help us continue to teach us that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.